I'm going to share some advice with you today that a preacher gave me many, many years ago. And it's some of the best advice that I listened to. And what he said was, when you have to choose in life, don't always take the easy way. Sometimes you have to take the hard way. But when you go through the hard way, the difficult way, you'll always grow and mature from it. And you'll never be the same. And I've learned that to be true, that many times people choose a life where they take the easiest path just by habit. They just take whatever way is easiest. But there's things in life that we have to face that are difficult. Especially when we're growing up in God and maturing, we have to face our own self, not just life, but things within our own self that we don't like. And we have to mortify those things and overcome those things. And so I want to share that advice and some scripture to go with it, just because when I accepted that my walk with God is going to mean sometimes I have to take a hard path, a path I don't like, a path that isn't easy, the path that isn't rewarding immediately, but is always rewarding in the long run. And when I accepted that this is part of walking with God, it made it easier when I faced hard times and difficult decisions, things where I had to let go of friends, let go of opportunities, even to face my own self, to overcome and put to death things in my own self that weren't godly, and how those were difficult things to go through. And when I accepted that this is part of the path, it made it easier to go through it, because I knew that as I went through the hard times, there was something being produced in me of maturity and growth that would last forever. And so those hard times were worth it. So the one verse I want to start with here is in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow way, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go on it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So he's given two different paths. One is narrow, one is wide. Now, when we go to the Greek, we understand that the word narrow here doesn't mean narrow as in slim, like there's one path that's very just one person at a time, and then the other path is wide, like a big freeway. It's talking more about narrow means constricted because of difficulties, that there's obstacles in the way. And so both paths are similar, but one doesn't have obstacles and one does. And the one that has obstacles that make it difficult to go through is called the narrow way. And so it's narrow, not because the path is narrow, but because of the obstacles that are on the path make it narrow and more difficult to go through. And so these are the two paths that he's describing, Jesus is describing. One is wide and there's no obstacles and it's free, you can run fast. The other one is narrow because it's the same size, but it's full of obstacles that make it difficult to go through. And he says, choose the narrow way, not the wide way. And so in life, we have to make these decisions when we follow God. And you're going to go through this as you follow God. I just don't want you surprised when you go through it, because much in our prosperity culture, we can adopt an idea that if I'm in faith, I don't have difficult times. If I'm in faith, I don't deal with difficult situations. And we can kind of try to look at God as a leader who will lead us. If I serve you, God, and follow you, then you'll lead me around all the hard things. I won't have to go through hard times. I won't have to face things and overcome things. But if I give you my life, I'm going to be blessed and have abundance and have a happy life. And it's contrary to discipleship. It's contrary to an authentic walk with God. Because if you walk with God, you'll find that he'll ask you to face things that you don't want to face. He'll ask you to overcome things in your own life, in your own home. He'll ask you to overcome things that you don't want to overcome, that you really, other people aren't overcoming. Why do I need to live at a higher standard? Why do you want me to live higher than the other guy? And so when you follow God, there is a demand from him that you will face if you follow God correctly, where you'll have to face things in your life that you may not want to face. And so when we accept that the path before me when I follow God, when I give Him not just salvation, when I ask for salvation, but as they say, too many people have made Jesus their Savior, but not Jesus their Lord, where He's allowed to lead their steps and guide their steps. And many Christians live their life, they're going to heaven and they serve God, but when it comes to God leading them down difficult decisions, sometimes they abandon that path and choose a different path, but they still serve God. Well, when Jesus is your Lord, you don't get to choose which path you will follow and which one you won't. You have to say yes, sir, to every path He puts you on. And there's a narrow path which is difficult, He says. Difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who will find it. So praise God that you're on this path, and you're on a path to life, and the pathway, the narrow way, because of the obstacles, seems difficult in the moment and hard in the moment. But you have to trust what's being produced in you by following the path of God and being obedient to God on this narrow path is that you're growing and maturing. You're actually investing into your future. Another saying that pastor told me years ago was, the road to the high call of God is littered with tests and trials. That the pathway, if you're going to follow God to the high call of God, where you lay your life down for Him, that you're going to face obstacles and tests and trials. The enemy will constantly try to discourage you to quit following that road. There's an easier road, he'll tell you, that you don't have to face mortification or laying down your life, or you know, why are you serving God? Why are you laying your life down? You don't have to. And there's a pathway where the devil will try to get you to follow, where you don't have to face your cross. But the pathway that God has for us, if we're going to grow in Him and mature and be disciples of Christ, is one where we have to face ourself, face things, difficult things, and walk through them. My purpose today is to encourage you and me to have the mindset that when we face hard things on this path of following God, I'm not talking about sickness and disease. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about decisions we have to make as we follow God, where we have to let things go. We have to sometimes let friendships go, let dreams die, when we have to face ourselves, our own insecurities, our fears, and follow God. That those are the times where the devil will try to discourage you and make it hard for you on this path so that you'll quit. And when our mindset is that of warriors, that is of followers of God, that says, I can overcome anything. I am not intimidated by anything the devil throws at me. Whatever the devil throws at you, fear of poverty, even if he throws sickness and disease at you, hardships in your family, struggling with your emotions, overcoming things that when God asks you to let go of things, whatever that hardship is, whatever the enemy throws at you to discourage you, to tell you, you're not strong enough to overcome this. You're not strong enough to make it. And God's going to abandon you. You're going to give up all this stuff, and God's going to abandon you anyway. All the things the devil tells you to try to discourage you on this path is because he's afraid of what God can do through you when you stay on this path. God has incredible things in store for you. But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you going through hard times. And above all things, it's going to cost you not running, that you don't run when you face hard times. We had one young man a number of years ago that I really loved him, and a good young man, but every time something difficult came, he would disappear. He'd run from it. But he had a tender heart, but he was, whenever something intimate or something difficult came for him to face, when hard work showed up, sometimes he would bounce around it. And I remember him telling me one time that, you know, all your friends tell me that I remind them of you when you were young, you know, hungry for God, zealous, and serving God. And I said, yeah, except for one thing, I never ran when it got hard. And see, when you allow yourself to avoid hard things when you face them, you're really training yourself that every time something really difficult comes to my way, I'm going to have the right to pull the plug or to abandon God's plan. I give myself the right to abandon God's plan when I don't like God's plan. But as long as I like God's plan, I'll stay in God's plan. And if that's your mindset, you're going to be in trouble, because you will abandon the path of God. I'm not talking about losing salvation, but I am talking about not fulfilling the high call of God. Every time you choose a path that is easy, when God chooses a path that is hard for you, you are abandoning his pathway to your calling, his pathway to your victory. And see, we're going to have to face many difficulties, many things in our life that the enemy will throw against us. And we're going to have to overcome our own self, our own flesh, our own ideas, our own passions. And we're going to have to overcome those too in our path of following God. We're going to have to overcome self-exaltation and taking care of yourself financially and self-preservation. That's one of the most difficult to confront when God tells you to. I'm not asking you to run out and try to kill everything at one time. But God will ask you step by step on this path, and eventually you'll come to face everything that stopped you. I remember asking God one time when I was reading about the disciples, how every one of his disciples were martyred. In the end of their life, they were martyred. And they faced death in one way or another. And they accepted the death in preaching the gospel of Christ, except for John. And John was not martyred. And I asked God, I said, God, why did you ask all the other disciples except for John to be martyred? And the Lord shared with me, well, John had already died in his heart to himself. And that's why he could face when Jesus went to the cross. Mary was there. And so was John, but the other disciples ran. If you recall, Peter even denied Christ out of fear of his own life. And so what the Lord told me was John did not have to be martyred in his life, because he had already died in his heart already. He was already a martyr in his heart. And so therefore he didn't have to face death in his end. And I said, God, well, that's not fair. Are you like punishing those guys? You're going to run from me at the cross, are you? Now I'm going to punish you by asking you to die on the missionary field. And the Lord said, absolutely not. He said, I wasn't punishing them. I was honoring them. And what he was saying was, when they faced the fear of death at Jesus's crucifixion, and they ran from that fear and gave into that fear, God honored them in their last days to face that fear again, the fear that beat them before. They were honored to face it again. And this time, instead of running from the fear of death, they faced death with boldness in God. So when they entered into heaven, they could say, I beat the enemy in every area that he tried to defeat me. It doesn't mean they didn't stumble along the way. We all stumble and make mistakes. But in the end, they were able to have victory over every area, including the fear of death. And so God honored them with that. And so when we see God and start walking with him, he'll honor us with allowing us to face the thing that we ran from before. And they have the old saying that, you know, she's coming around the mountain, the old song. You know, so many people, they go around and around the mountain because they won't face the mountain. God wants us to remove the mountain, not go around it. And too much Christianity today, the philosophy is how to avoid growing up, how to avoid hard things, how to have an easy life, a nice life, a prosperous life. But the life that the gospel shares is more about you laying your life down and God's purposes than about your happiness, in essence. But we can trust him in that as we follow him, he's answering our prayers and our needs. I remember complaining to God one time. I said, God, why am I living here in Tennessee at the moment? I'm, you know, 3,000 miles away from my family. Why do you have me living here? I have family at home that need to be in church. If I lived in Canada where I was raised, where my family is, I could be bothering all of them, harassing them, manipulating them, convincing them to go to church. I would bother all of them till they went to church. And I said, God, I got nephews now and nieces, and I want to make sure they serve God with all my heart. I want to see that. And the Lord said, every prayer you're going to pray for your family is answered when you're in my will. So as I follow God, I'm going to come to moments where I'll have a prayer. I'll see a need. And God was telling me that in his planning for my life, in his planning the steps of my life, he doesn't just think about what he wants, he also considers my heart's desire, and he plans the victory within his path. So as I continue to follow him, there's times where it looks like I'm letting go of things. I've let go of trying to get my family saved. But in following him, he has inserted that prayer that my family will be saved and go to heaven. He's inserted that answer along the path of me following him. So he loves my family more than I do. He loves my children more than I could. He loves me more than I do. And so in the path that he lays out for me are the prayer requests that I'm going to have. The answer is in the path, not in me trying to fix it. And I say that because many times I have tried to use that excuse to avoid the plan of God. I'll give you an example. You can turn with me to Numbers 14, and I'll just give you an example. We're going to talk about this here in a minute, but I'll jump ahead. I remember when the Lord instructed me and my wife to not work and not preach. And he said to me, I want you to take this season and don't preach and don't work and pray and get to know me. And I remember having difficulties because that meant no income. And how am I going to handle my family with no income? Our finances and all that. And that was my first question. God, how am I going to make it happen if I don't work and don't preach? You know? And he said that was his job to figure out those problems. My job was to obey him. And one of my excuses was, well, I love my children, God. I'm supposed to be a good provider for my children. And not working and not preaching to bring in income was contrary to what I wanted. And I begged him to let me work, and he wouldn't let me because he wanted me to face a fear in me that God wouldn't provide for me. And it was a hard 2 years. But in the end, I found out that he loves my children, and he's a better provider for my children than I ever could be. And I use this verse here out of Numbers 14, and it talks about how Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land and came out ready to take over the promised land. And then in verse 31, he says, but your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I'll bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. So they were blaming their reasoning for not going into the promised land on the fact that I love my children, God. If I go in the promised land, my children will die and they'll be victims. And the Lord says, you blame me for making them victims, but now you'll see that I'll make them owners of the promised land. Now let's go over to Numbers chapter 13. We're just going to do a little study here. It's an important study because it'll help cement in you the idea that following God is always the best way. And now when Israel was following God out of Egypt, he led them to the promised land. And we read here, we'll just start in verse chapter 13 and verse 1. And I won't read all the names because I'll make a mess of it. So we'll just skip through here a little bit. But verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, each one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness to Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And it goes through all the names. These are the names of the men which Moses sent, this is verse 16, to spy out the land. So verse 16, I want you to see here. These are the names of the men that Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Joshua, the son of Nun, Joshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land in Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like. So now we know that they went and they spied out the land. Oh, let's go over to verse 25. And they went all through the south and came to Hebron. Ain, the man, Shathite, and Tamali, and descendants of Anak were there. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zion in Egypt, then Zon in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and they were cut down a branch. And one cluster of grapes they carried in between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the man of Israel cut down there. and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So now these men go, they come back after 40 days, they've seen the giants, and it's littered with giants, and they see the fruit, the blessings of the promised land. I want to pause there because many people think the promised land is heaven, but the promised land isn't heaven. The promised land is us fulfilling our calling on this earth. Heaven is retirement. That's when we're out of this earth. It's retirement. It's not the promise. The promised land is not heaven. The promised land for us is bringing God's revival to our home, to our cities, to our countries, to this world. That's the promised land. And the promised land doesn't come free of charge. The promised land must be conquered by overcoming giants. We must kill the giants if we want to be free in the promised land. And that's the reason we were talking about this, because God has a promised land for you in your calling, a future of touching this world. Now, the way that is, that's between Him and you. But God has a specific plan for you, a promised land for you. But you're not going to walk in it without facing giants. And if you don't get the attitude, if we don't get the attitude as Christians, that we are on a narrow road with many obstacles and many tests and trials that we have to overcome, for us to finish the course, the high call, for us to walk in the promised land freely and receive all the blessings of the promised land, prosperity and revival and lives being touched, then we're going to have to face some giants and we're going to have to kill some giants. If your philosophy of life is, I hate facing giants, then you're going to have a miserable time as you follow God. Because you may stop and say, I'm done, I'm stopping right here. And God will just let you go around the mountain. And every time you come to Him, He'll say, okay, you ready to face that? Well, no. Okay, come back when you're ready. Okay, I'm ready. Now let's move forward. But I'm not doing that. I'll follow you, God. I'll worship you. I'll serve you. I'll give money to you. I'll give time to you. But I won't face that. Well, that's where God will say, come back when you're ready. He won't go beyond you. He won't let you go beyond the things He has in front of you. He's very, very, I don't want to say the word stubborn, but he won't change. He doesn't change. You have to change. I have to change. And so our philosophy, if we're going to follow this, must be that I see the promised land. I don't see the giants. I celebrate the promised land. I don't fear the giants. I will confront the giants. When giants come, when hard times come, I see it as an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to move forward, an opportunity to invest into the future for me. I don't see it as a failure. I'm not a victim when hard times come, when I face hard things. There's many times in my life God's asked me to let go of friends. He's asked me to let go of opportunities. He's asked me to forgive people I didn't want to forgive. He's asked me to do things I didn't want to do. But I did it anyway. Not all the time. I haven't been perfect. But it's been my heart that I don't run from hard times, because that preacher years ago told me that the road to the high call is littered with tests and trials. And that preacher said, choose the hard way, not just choose the easy way. And because in my younger years I accepted that as part of the walk with God, I haven't been surprised when I've had to make hard choices to stay in the will of God, when people have threatened to abandon me as a friend, when people have said they're going to even abandon me as a helper in finances, and I've had to stick to the will of God and lose friends and lose things and lose opportunities because I want to stay in God's will. Those were mountains. Those were giants that I had to face. Fear of man, fear of myself, fear of failure. So many things in my life I had to face. I remember we had one friend, and I love him. He's a giant of a man, tall, strong personality guy. And I remember that he was never intimidated by people. I was always so in awe and amazed at this guy, where he'd walk into an environment and not be moved by what people thought. Where for me, I'd walk in and kind of be shy and curious and thoughtful of everyone, self-conscious very much. And like, for instance, he would be one of the leaders in the church. Well, he'd come in 2 minutes of the church service over and walk right on the front row and sit on the front row and not care that everyone noticed that he's missed the first 2 hours of service and he just walked in. For me, if I missed service for any reason and came in late, I would sneak in the back and work my way slowly to the front so people wouldn't notice that I was gone. He didn't care. And so God began to have me face my self-consciousness many times. Something came natural to him, didn't come natural to me. And so I had to face things. I had to confront things, things that I was afraid to confront. And there's many times you don't think you're ready to confront something. God says you are, and you're going to have to obey him without the emotion of courage, without the emotion of, I'm going to kill this, I'm going to win. Sometimes just with the emotion of, God said to do it, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust God to be my strength. And praise God, when you overcome those things, those fears, you are on the pathway to the high call of God, and you're killing giants. And so I want our philosophy of life to be, when hard times, when I face hard decisions and hard times, I don't run from them. I face them with courage that God is with me. And the only reason I'm facing it is because I'm ready to win. I'm ready to have victory. That's the only reason I'm facing it, is because God sees that I'm already prepared to win. Not the philosophy of, I avoid hard things, I take the easiest job, I take the easiest, fine, I make decisions out of what blesses me the most. You know, then you're always trapped in the one, you never grow. You're always trapped in that life of just trying to find pleasure in life. Well, life isn't about finding happiness. It's about fulfilling God's purpose. And in fulfilling God's purpose, you'll find happiness. But it's a happiness that's been tested in battle through warriors. It's been tested through facing giants and overcoming giants. And sometimes misstepping and making mistakes and having to repent and humble yourself. We all have many of those moments in our life. So let's read over here in chapter 13. I'll start in verse 27. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea among the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let's go at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." So Caleb saw the giants only as an obstacle to overcome, to face, to fight, to kill, because he saw the promised land as, this is what God has promised us. So the only way to possess the promised land is to face the giants and kill them. And Caleb saw this, was excited to overcome, and excited to go and take the promised land with battle, with war. But the man who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we." And you know what? That's the truth. The giants were stronger than the Israelites. But they were not stronger than God, who was with the Israelites. And God was trying to lead them into the promised land to give them the victory through him, through his strength. And this is where they stopped believing in God's direction. They stopped believing in God's ability to give them victory through his strength and not through their own ability. That's why when God begins to talk to you, you may think, "You're talking to me about that? I'm not capable." Well, God thinks you are. God thinks you're much stronger than, let me rephrase that, God knows you're much stronger than you think you are. "But the man had gone up with him, were not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants.' So Caleb saying, 'Let's go possess it. It's ours. God is with us.' The other 10 were saying, 'No, no, no, no. This land devours people. It crushes people.' it will destroy us. The land of ours, its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So then they say, we were like grasshoppers. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. Caleb saw himself as a giant killer, and the other ten saw themselves as grasshoppers. It's important for you to start to see yourself as a giant killer, that you're going to face hard things when they come, when difficult things come your way, or God asks you to face things in your own life. Then those are moments where we have to call ourselves, I'm a giant killer, I'll kill it. I'm not afraid or intimidated to face anything because I know God is with me. Now, he mentions here in the land all the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Amalekites are all Ikes. I call them the Ikes, the Ites, the Ites of the land. Well, these are your giants that you're going to face. Maybe it's not a Canaanite you got to face. Maybe it's an angryite or a jealousyite or an envyite, a selfishite or an insecureite or a fearite. Or maybe it's something in your life that you don't want to face. Maybe it's letting people down. A lot of times in following God, people have plans for you and you have to let them down because you have to follow God's plan. For many of us, there's times where that was very hard because we want to make people proud that have invested into us. We want to make people proud who love us. We want to make our family proud, our parents proud. Sometimes our spiritual leaders, we want to make them proud. But the way we make them proud, if they say, you have to do this, and God says, I want you to go down this path, sometimes we have to disappoint them. And that can be a hard choice in following God over the will of other people and over your own will also. Because make no mistake about it, if you're going to follow God, you're going to face things in your own life that you don't want to face. There's things that you don't even know that you don't want to face, but they're there. And God will find them. The Holy Spirit, if you pray in tongues, will bring them up and say, see that there? Yeah, that's my fun part of my life. Yeah, I want you to kill it. It's like, I don't want to kill that. That makes me feel good about life. Yeah, I want to be the reason you feel good about life, not something else. So I need you to kill that. And so many people change course because the road gets too narrow, too many obstacles. And when they face their it, they say, that's too big. If I kill that, I'm losing something. I'll be destroyed if I let that go. The fear of God not providing for you, the fear of God not walking with you, he'll have you face all that. Chapter 14, we'll read here in verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard their complaints, which the children of Israel make against me. So to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, but all of you who are numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. Now understand that they say the trip from Egypt to the Promised Land, I think, was 40 days. And because they refused to enter into the Promised Land, it took 40 years for God to bring them back to the Promised Land. Caleb and Joshua, they were the ones who were able to go into the Promised Land after 40 years later, after everyone else had died off. And so there are consequences for us refusing to follow God. Even if we justify it and we use fear or we use abandonment or our past, understand if God is asking you to face something, no matter how fearful it may seem, no matter how big of a giant it may be, the truth is the only reason you're facing it is because God believes you can kill it, that you can win against it. And it may seem overwhelming. It may seem like I'm going to die, but you have to trust God more than you trust your own self. Because God has one plan for you to get you to the high call of God. And every obstacle that the enemy throws your way from the outside, there's things from the outside that come, finances, other people, all those things that the devil throws at you from the outside, you're going to have to overcome them. Things internally about yourself, the way you see yourself, the way you see God, wrong doctrine, wrong thinking, self-centeredness, self-preservation doesn't sound bad when you're going to take care of yourself. For you to follow God, you have to learn to let God take care of you, and you don't take care of yourself. And so therefore, that can be a difficult thing for many people. It's an ite, that's a giant that they have to overcome, and it's within them. It's what's stopping them from following God forward on the call of God. And so Joshua and Caleb were the only two that were able to continue to the promised land. And it's because when they went to spy out the land, they saw the giants as an obstacle to overcome, and they saw the promised land as why they were there. They didn't see the giants as a conqueror over them. When we face hard times in life, if you take life, even just life, if you take life as the hard decisions, the hard things that come as a punch to the head, as something that belittles me, discourages me, as, I can't believe I'm failing. I can't believe I'm going through this, I'm going through that. Life is going to throw all kinds of hard things our way. Just life itself, not even the devil, but just life. But then you add the devil trying to resist you, and then you add your own flesh trying to lead you, then you're going to find lots of obstacles, little giants, big giants that you have to kill. And so it's better to have the philosophy, I am a giant killer. My life is about overcoming things and facing things head on. When I see something and God tells me to confront it, I'm not going to dance around it. I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to face it head on. This is serving God, overcoming and killing giants. If you try to have a promised land without overcoming giants, you'll never get to the promised land, because that is the cost of getting to the promised land. Again, the promised land, in what I'm talking about, is not heaven. It's about you walking in the high call of God. It's about God being able to bring revival to our home, to our city, a revival of miracles and love and maturity. And so we want to adopt the attitude, I am a giant killer, and I don't kill giants by my own strength, but by God's strength. And I don't fight giants until God tells me to fight giants. He'll tell you when to fight, and when he tells you to fight, it's because he knows you can win, or he knows that he can win through you. Verse 30, except for Caleb, the son of Jeshua, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they will inherit the land. So God, even though they used their children as a reason, they were afraid of war, and they were using their children. And I had that same argument when God was leading me down a path of finances, of trusting him. God, it's not right for me to do this. I need to preach. I need to work. You know, just because I need to provide for my kids, how am I going to provide for my children? They're going to starve. God, my family's going to starve. I can't do it. You're wrong. I'm not ready for it. God thought I was ready for it. And thank God I went through it. It was a hard giant, that one. I fought that with great fear. I had great fear in my life. But I didn't listen to the fear. I followed God's instructions. And because of it, I killed a giant. The giant wasn't finances. The giant was something in me that said I was not worthy for God to provide for me. And God had me face that giant every day for years, for 2 years. And he wouldn't let me preach. He wouldn't let me take a job. We had to trust God for every penny, for everything. And he fed my family. He took care of us. Now I look back and think, thank God I hated that moment, that fight. But I'm so glad I went through it, because I grew and am mature because of it. And I killed that giant. I'm not afraid of God not providing for me when I'm in his will anymore. I had to face that giant. Jesus already conquered every demon, every disease. He conquered everything. So this is my fight with his help. It's my fear, not his. He's already conquered the enemy. But he'll help me to also walk in that victory. And that's how we walk into our promised land. I'm going to go back here, and we're just going to look at a few more verses. In these verses, I had a complaint with God. Like, God, why did you even send the 12 spies if you knew that 10 of them were going to come back negative? And then I learned over here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19, we're going to read this, and we'll see something very interesting about how Moses let the children of Israel get into trouble. Verse 19, Deuteronomy chapter 1. And so he departed from Hebor and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites. And the Lord our God had commanded us. Thus we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God has given us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your father has spoken to you. Do not fear, do not be discouraged. So let me say this to you. Do not fear, do not be discouraged. You and I cannot allow fear or discouragement to lead us. And it's easy as believers to allow discouragement to creep in, because it creeps in a way. Fear and discouragement creep in a way that it's never one big bunch of stuff. It's a little bit at a time, and we don't kill it. It's like they say, if you have a cockroach in your house, there's probably 20 cockroaches. So if we don't kill the one cockroach, he'll multiply very quickly. And you don't want to leave a cockroach for later. And that's kind of how fear and discouragement creeps in, is you see a cockroach, and you're like, it's just a cockroach, not causing too much trouble. But if you don't kill it, it will spread like crazy. And that's how fear and discouragement begins to fester inside of our lives if we don't tackle the little things when they show up. So he says, do not fear and be discouraged. I've given you the land. Go and possess it. And every one of you, now here's Moses, listen. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us, and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come. This is verse 22. You should highlight this one because we need to link this over to Numbers 13, where it says that Moses sent the man to spy out, because it tells us how that happened. It says that God told Moses to send a man, but it wasn't like God said, okay, I want you to send 12 spies to find the land. We're discovering here in Deuteronomy 1 how that happened, was that God told Moses to go possess the land. There's giants in there, and don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go in and take it. Possess it. I give you this land. And that meant that as they just walked towards it, see, fear is an illusion. There's no truth to it. And you never find out it's not real until you walk towards it. And so when you have to face your giant, it means there's usually a moment of fear that you have to walk through and say, I don't believe you, and step into the will of God for you to face the giant. Because God's the one who helps you to kill the giant. You don't think that David killed Goliath with a little stone. You don't think that was David doing. That was God empowering that stone like a bullet. And it wasn't David's strength that killed. It was David's obedience. So as many times when you face fear, you just have to step towards it. And so the fear and the discouragement may be there, but you walk through it. And so God told him, go into the promised land. Now it's yours. I give it to you. That's the step of obedience. Go and possess it. And when he told them that, here's what happened. They got together. Moses said, every one of you came to me and said, let's send men before us to spy out the land. Verse 22, and bring back word to us of the way which we should go up and of the cities which we shall come. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men and one of each of the tribe. And so he says, the plan pleased me. And this is where we get in trouble with victory, because many times we want a great explanation. Lord, I'll follow you, but I need you to map out every step for me. I need a document, a proof of what we're doing, because I want to figure this out before I take a step. A lot of times in following God, especially in killing giants, you can't ask for a blueprint. You have to go forcefully into what God told you trusting that he'll be there with you. Then they were wanting a plan. They were wanting to know what to do. And so they talked Moses into a good idea of sending the 12 men. And I'll just keep reading here. Verse 23. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us, and they brought it back word to us, saying, "It is a good land which the Lord our God has given to us." Nevertheless, you would not go up. You rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. This is telling us how Moses and the people of Israel messed up on following God. That they got to the place where God told them, go take the land, and they decided in a committee to add their plan to God's plan. Well, before we do that, let's send 12 spies. And you know, when you force God's hand, you say, I'm not going to do it unless I get to do this. This is what happened. They went and said, God, we won't go forward until you let us do 12 men. So God said, okay, send 12 men. So God agreed with their plan, but it wasn't his original plan. His original plan was go take the land. But because they got a committee together, which is such an example of how we mess things up nowadays, and they decided how they were going to do it, they walked themselves out of God's plan and into missing it. There's consequences for missing God's plan, for stepping out of God's will. So I want to encourage you today, be brave and follow God. You're a giant killer. You are looking at possessing the land, the promised land of your calling. And don't belittle what your calling is. Your calling is just as important as anyone else's. You have a great call in your life. But the only way there is a path, a road with obstacles in the way that make it narrow and difficult. Don't run because it's difficult. Difficult is not because of lack of faith. Sometimes it's because you're obeying God that you're going through difficult times. So be encouraged. Be brave. Follow God. We are giant killers. And whatever it we face, whether it comes from outside, from the devil, from life, whether it comes from overcoming things in our own personality makeup that we have to get overcome, don't you be afraid. Don't you get discouraged. Know that God is with you. God's walking with you, and he's got great things for you. Let's be brave and follow God. Thank you for taking time with me today. God bless you.